blessing it is to be in the house of the Lord. Really enjoyed the thoughts that put on before us both this morning and last night. This is my first time here at Stratton, and really beautiful place, you know. I'm not a Texas person, you know, but Texas is beautiful when the saints are gathered together, right? So bear with me this morning. I want to look at a verse out of Romans 5. Brother Tony brought up some verses in Romans 5 last night. He brought out election in it, a beautiful, beautiful picture. And I want to look at the 12th verse in Romans 5. It says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Now, we go back to Genesis, and in chapter 3, we have what I would say is a great lie. Satan comes to Eve and tempts her, brings out that this tree that the Lord had said, "The day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die." Right. And Satan tells her, "Ye shall not surely die." And I believe that's the great lie.
Right.
And I believe that that lie is still today.
Yeah. Amen.
There are folks that are saying, "Ye are not surely dead." You know, that they don't believe that the children of God, let me change that phrase. They don't believe that Adam died whenever he ate of the fruit. They don't believe that man by nature is dead. And whenever we look at this verse in Romans chapter 5, he is confirming that by one man sin entered into the world. He doesn't say by many man sin entered into the world, but by one man sin entered into the world. And death by sin. And we look back to that where the great lie that was there, if we don't understand the doctrine that man by nature is dead, we don't understand the glory that comes in the understanding of what Jesus Christ did upon the cross of Calvary. If we just think that when Eve ate, that it just changed a few things, but we still had life, that we just became sick, or that we just had to do something else, and things were different, we don't understand that we were dead, and that death came upon us, and sin came into the world by that one action. That we don't understand. Everything else is going to be a whole lot more difficult for us. For us to understand. When we look at John chapter 6, there's another place here, and this is going to be hard to understand if we don't understand what happened in Genesis chapter 3. I said John chapter 6, it's John chapter 5. A lot of good in John chapter 6. I'm in John chapter 5. John chapter 5 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." This is speaking about those that are the elect, that were dead in Adam. And it tells us how that the dead are brought to life.
Right.
And it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." When the Lord speaks to the heart of His children, they change from a state of death to a state of life. And there's that is a day that as Paul describes, he says, when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. He says, before that commandment came, he says, only way that I knew that there was sin was that the law said, thou shalt not sin. So after the Lord speaks to us, there's a recognition then of the weight of our sin. You know, when you go back and look at in the garden, and we recognize about what changed in Adam and Eve, and they covered themselves. And the Lord said, Who told you that thou should cover yourself? You know, there's a recognition there of something that we need a covering. Now, you go back into Romans chapter 5, and he says, and not only, this is the 11th verse, and not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we now have received the atonement. That atonement is a covering. You know, we've been covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, there's a beautiful picture there. But, you know, if we look at the situation that we're in and we're saying, well, you know, you just got to do this and everything's going to be. You know what a deaf person can do? What can a deaf person do? They have zero ability to respond to anything. Or they wouldn't be dead. You know, whenever a doctor is trying to determine whether or not there's still life in them, what are they doing? They check for vital signs. They're checking to see is there any reaction to anything that I can do to them. They'll check the pulse. They'll check the reflexes. They'll do all these different things. Whenever they come to the determination that the body is not responding to any stimuli, then they say it is dead. And so to recognize that whenever we look at what death was, there is no spiritual life in them. They cannot respond to spiritual things. Can't do it. Well, that's kind of impressive. we just stop right there and be like, well, if I can't do something, then what am I to do? You get what I'm saying? I mean, it's like, well, I want to be with the Lord. I want to have a relationship with the Lord.
That's right, yeah.
I want to have faith in the Lord. I want to do something to praise my Lord and Savior. Well, guess what? That means you have life.
Right.
I mean, if you have that desire, that means that there is life there. That means that you are responding. That means that there are some reflexes. You know, whenever we hear about the death that we have and the sin that we've committed, and we recognize that we need a covering. Those are all evidences that you're alive.
Amen.
You know, whenever you walk into a room and it's cold and you want to cover yourself up, dead people don't do that. They don't care. you begin to sweat and you get hot and I just need to cool up. Dead people don't care about what the temperature is. You take the body and you put it 6 feet under and nobody cares. The dead, no dead people care. I realize that's we care about it. But you understand what I'm saying.
Yes.
Sometimes in our walk with the Lord and recognizing how wonderful that His grace is toward us, that lie comes up before us and says, no, you were not surely dead. And what does that do to us? It begins to put ourselves above the Lord. We cannot believe the lie that we were not there. You can't do it. And give God all the glory and praise.
Right. Right.
Amen.
Right.
Yes. Can't do it and give Him all the glory and praise.
Right.
Right. You know, whenever you look at how Adam came about, He brought him up from the dust of the earth and breathed life into him. Adam didn't respond until after life was breathed into him. There's an account in Mark chapter 4. And this is a natural response and a natural incident. I'm going to spiritualize it in a way here so that I want us to see the wow in how that the Lord, when the Lord speaks life, how amazing that is, and how really, to some extent, in a natural sense, it's an unbelievable thing.
All right.
And so the disciples are on the sea. And this is Mark 4 and 37. And it says, "And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part," speaking of Jesus, "in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish?" All right, so there's a lot of joy that we can grab out of this in a natural sense. I want to get this next part. "And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this?"
Yeah.
What manner of man is this? This was just one incident. And in the many incidents that they had experienced, we can get a little bit of a grasp on these disciples, as Jesus is asleep in the back of the boat, then they were wondering why the Lord did not care that there was a storm. In a natural sense, we look at those situations and they were afraid for their life, but yet Jesus is just asleep on the ship. They had seen that in a lot of incidents, a lot of places where the Lord had done miracles, healed the sick, made the blind to see, made the lame to walk, and they were wowed by that. But then they get to this incident, and it says they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Even the wind and the sea obey him. I've heard a lot of folks that are promoting the big lie that will say the Lord can't. The Lord can't. I don't believe that lie. If the Lord can, and the Lord does, He says the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. I believe that is now, is right now,
right,
that the Lord is still,
right,
speaking in the heart of his children and speaking to the dead and saying, live, and they live. I don't believe that that power has diminished in any way. I believe that the power of God is still as strong today as it was whenever he breathed life into Adam in the beginning. I believe whenever the Lord was here and he was on the ship and he told the winds and the waves to cease, I tell you that the power is still there. The Lord is still speaking to us, and I believe that we can still have just as these men were that said, what manner of man is this? What manner of man is this that speaks to the dead and makes them to live? What manner of man is this? I tell you, the manner of man is the man that is worthy to be worshipped, that is worthy to be praised, that his name is worthy to be glorified in all the earth. That we can look out and say that, man, if it was just up to man, we'd all still be dead.
Yeah.
You know, there's not another man.
Amen.
There's not another man.
That's right.
The Lord looked out and saw that there was none.
Yeah.
But the Lord's hand is not short that he cannot save.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord's hand is not short. He can reach to the uttermost. He can find the worst of the worst and make them good. The Lord is able. The Lord is just. So when we look at that verse, and it says, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed all upon all men, so that all have sinned. If we just stop right there, we'd be like, whoo. What now? But it says in the 19th verse, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. It doesn't say by the obedience of many.
Right.
It's the obedience of one. Just as we all died in Adam, we're all made alive in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Just as we're not, now understand, we all sin, okay? I'm not getting it. But we're not sinners because many sinned. We're sinners because Adam sinned and all men became sinners.
All right?
In the same way that we all became sinners, just as because of Adam, we all became righteous because of the work of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
By one man, by the obedience of one, shall many be made righteous.
Yeah.
Who is that many? Those that are spiritually alive, that have the spiritual responses, the spiritual reaction, the desire. You say, so I just have to want something, and that makes it so. No? If you want something, that means it's already so.
Yeah,
you don't do something to get it. You do it because you got it.
Right. Yeah.
All right? Brother Roman.